Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, to see the dawn of the darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful men, torn and beaten then, nailed to a cross of wood. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath. We stand forgiven at the cross. Oh, to see the pain written on your face, bearing the awesome weight of sin, every bitter thought, every evil deed, crowning your blood-stained brow. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath. We stand forgiven at the cross. Now the daylight flees, now the ground beneath quakes as its maker bows his head. Curtain torn in two, dead raised to life, finish the victory cry. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us. He took the blame, bore the wrath. We stand forgiven at the cross. Oh, to see my name written in the wounds, fall through your suffering, I am free. Death is crushed to death, life is mine to live, won through your selfless love. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us. What a love, what a cost. We stand forgiven at the cross. What a love, what a cost. We stand forgiven at the cross.
Thank you, Vicky. Wonderful. Good morning, everybody. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you've given us this marvelous revelation of Jesus Christ. We see him presently seated on the throne of the universe, having accomplished his mission, having finished the work of redemption on earth, and having passed through the heavens so he might fill all in all, and has taken his rightful seat upon the throne of the universe, where he is God Almighty, God and man, two new royal warrants, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the bright morning star. And that we will be joining him before we know it in that place. So wonderful, it can't even be described in human terms and human words, with so many different things that'll just thrill us for all eternity. Starting with him, be occupied with Christ, enamored with Jesus Christ for all eternity. Everything else will be secondary. He'll be primary in every way, as he should be now, and as he can be as we continue in the Word of God and to continue to take it in, to apply it, to metabolize it and apply it, to apprehend it, assimilate it and apply it in life. Thank you, Father, for another increment of the Word and the wisdom of God in a mystery been given to us by the great Apostle Paul, the one that you chose from his mother's womb to reveal your Son in him. We thank you for these things, and we pray in Christ's name. Amen. The wisdom of God in a mystery is our subject today. It's from 1 Corinthians 2:7. Told you we're going to hit every verse that has the word mystery in it. And before we get started, oh, it's Sunday, November 8th, 2020. Before we get started, I want to say something. A little bit of a problem, a small problem that we have. People who choose to sit in the back room to listen to the message, I would ask you to please sit quietly and do not get up and go in and out, because it disrupts those who are serious students of the Word, who sit back there sometimes for various reasons. They don't feel well, or it's there's other reasons that they sit back there, and they're welcome to do so. Also, please be courteous and do not text or play with your phone if you're seated back there. I suggest you leave your phone elsewhere, or at least turn it off and forget about it. Can you do that? Until the message concludes. If you want something for your restless hands and fingers to do, bring a Bible. There's a good idea. There's a novel idea. Bring a Bible, a pad, and a pen to take notes. I assure you, you will get much more from the message if you concentrate. And besides, since it's God's Word being proclaimed, it's a good idea, and to your great advantage, to pay attention. Give due respect to Jesus Christ, who sees your interest or apathy, as the case may be. Please know that whether or not you see it, or know it, or understand it, you are standing on holy ground. And like Moses at the burning bush, God requires you to take off your shoes. That is, those items on your body that contact the earth and are in contact with earthly things, so that he can speak to you. He might want to tell you something that will change your life. Now turn to 1 Corinthians 2:6. Get that? Thank you. Some people don't know where they are. Not only do they not know who they are, they don't know where they are. If you're in Christ, you are interested in the Word of God. You say, well, how does that work? Well, you are, whether you know it or not. Whether you presently experience that or not, you are interested in the Word of God, because you've been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth and devotion to the Word of God. In the new man. The new man loves the Word of God. So put on the new man. Put off the old man. Put on the new man. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. 1 Corinthians 2:6. He says, yet we do speak wisdom. He says, when I was with you, I determined to know nothing except Christ and him crucified. And then he goes on to say, yet we do speak wisdom. We do have a message that goes beyond the simple proclamation of the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. All of it based upon what he has done, who he is and what he's done. Yet we do speak wisdom, Sophia, God's wisdom among those who are mature, complete. Are you mature here? Anybody mature? I'm not sure if I am or not. God determines that. But we're going to speak the message, and your maturity will be capacity for the message of the mystery. We speak wisdom among those who are mature. A wisdom, however, not of this age, this aeon of the world, have its foundations in the world or in human viewpoint, nor of the rulers. Well, we just saw all that, didn't we? The rulers of this age, government officials, top government officials, even the officials of our own land, our new president, who we need to pray for. Put him on your list. Take the old one off as primary. Put the new one on. That's what we do. You know what? I said this yesterday. It dawned on me yesterday. They said, so far it's been very peaceful, even though our new president, Democrat, Joe Biden, was declared to be president of the United States. There were no riots and no violence. You know why? It's the other side that does that. Not our side. Proves it. Not that there aren't splinter groups and these, you know, a few here and there that would do such things. But it's okay. We're all Americans. Just as President Biden, President-elect Biden, has said. So we go with him for now. Anyway, and we'll always pray for those. And don't speak evil. Do not speak evil of a ruler of the people. Don't. Paul got hit in the mouth for doing that. And he said, I didn't realize it. And that was the religious leaders of Israel, but here it's government officials also. So, 1 Corinthians 2:6. Do not speak, we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. A wisdom, however, not of this age. It's an evil age that we live in. Nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. Their great wisdom will have no lasting effect. Oftentimes, before they even say it, it's proved to be passé or useless. Not real or true in many ways. 1 Corinthians 2:7, but we speak God's wisdom. This comes directly from him. By his spirit, the inspired author, the author of inspiration, the one who breathes out the word of God from the very mind of God, the mind or thinking of Christ. We speak God's Sophia, God's wisdom, ancient wisdom that was with him from the beginning, that furnishes his kingdom. God's wisdom in a mystery, mysterion, all that is unique, all that is distinct, all that is unprecedented, belonging to church age believers only, revealed to one man, the Apostle Paul, when he was stoned to death at Lystra, taken into the third heaven, where he heard unspoken, spoken words, never spoken or heard before, that he communicated and fed to the early church with an eyedropper in all of his epistles, some more than others. And even in 1 Corinthians, the carnal Corinthians got a dose of the mystery. And the Romans, and the Timothys, and in Titus, and Colossians, especially in Ephesians. More references in Ephesians than anywhere else. But here, also in 1 Corinthians. We speak God's wisdom in a mystery. The hidden wisdom, which God pro-orizo, predestined. This is a wisdom predestined. Hidden, but predestined to be revealed before the ages, to our glory. You have to think about that one. That's fantastic. To our glory. What's that mean? We're going to talk about that today. Then 2:8, just to finish it up. So we have placed in context, placed our passage 2:7 in context between 6 and 8. 1 Corinthians 2:8, the wisdom, which is supplied in ellipsis, which none of the rulers of this age has understood. They don't know that Jesus Christ is the sovereign controller of history. That he, in fact, runs every nation. That he raises up men and he puts them down as he sees fit for his purpose, to the praise of the glory of his grace and all for all eternity, that would be revealed to men and angels what was hidden from men and angels for ages and generations past, now revealed to the church. This is important. This is what you're here to learn. So pay careful attention. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age, government officials in this age, for if they had understood it back when Jesus was on the earth, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. But they did, because they were in cahoots with Satan, although his plot was foiled by the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the raising up of the church. And there's nothing he can do about it, hid with Christ as we are inside of God. So it starts out in verse 7 with Allah, which is an adversative subordinating conjunction, which means on the contrary. Allah. Allah, on the contrary, not the wisdom, as James tells us in 3:15-17, not the wisdom from beneath that is earthly, psychic, and demonic. That's the wisdom of the world. But the wisdom from above, pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Quite a stark contrast between the wisdom from above and the wisdom from beneath. But the wisdom here is the wisdom of God, specific to the true identity of Jesus Christ, as he is indeed the Lord of glory, and also the true identity of the church, and the special blessedness belonging to those who live on the finished work side of human history. Nothing like it. We live in the greatest of the times or dispensations. God's dealings with mankind, the greatest economy, spiritual economy of all. Oikonomai, which is the house rules or economy of our time, spiritual economy of our time, when everyone who believes has the very life of Jesus and Christ indwelling him, the Spirit indwelling him, the Father indwelling him, as the Word of Christ richly indwells our hearts, and we're filled with Holy Scripture and filled with the Holy Spirit. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. So, the true identity of Jesus Christ and the blessedness belonging to those living on the finished work side of history. So privileged to be here and to be those who live in this era. No other age or people group, including the Jews, now or in the future, have or has what the church has. Though the Jews are first in the purpose of God for the human race, and he used them for many wonderful things to prove his faithfulness and to bring the word of God to the world, the last, the church, is now first for this era. Unless a Jew should believe in Christ, and then he moves from last place into first place. Once again, it's part and parcel of the church. The church is not an afterthought, but rather prohorizo, as we will see, which means determined completely in advance and boundaries drawn. Each one and all who believe together, gathered up in precincts or parishes, as they're called, wherein They gather on purpose. They gather frequently to hear the word of Christ spoken, and little by little come to know the wisdom of God in a mystery. The true identity of Christ as God Almighty and the body of Christ, or Christ corporate. Then, to commence, once they know these things, have some knowledge of them, then to commence or continue living in that reality until the end, giving testimony by a life well lived, by grace and through faith, without any sight evidence. You just live by the word of God, even as Jesus did. The man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you and you perish in the way. When his anger is kindled just a little, be careful. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. You believe that he is? Of course you do. And that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. After they believe that he is, that Christ is God, then you believe that he's the rewarder of those who seek him. And indeed he is, beyond anything that you could ever think, ask, or imagine. Eye is not seen. Right, Terry? That's what he come with me to church with this morning. He knew it in the Greek. We're going to have to let him preach. He got stuff bottled up. Inside. Do you have stuff bottled up? Okay, we'll have to let it go. We'll have to let it out. Eye is not seen, ear is not heard, neither is it entered into the heart of man the things that God's prepared for you if you're a lover of God. He'll pour out his love into your heart. Accio. Lavish it upon you. Do you know how many Christians there are that neither know who Jesus is? You say, how could that be? It's true. You know how many there are who do not know, neither know who Jesus is or who they are in Christ? How many do you suppose know and think about the fact that they are body parts of Jesus, or that they are beloved and blessed even as he is by association with him, by union and communion, both with him? Here is wisdom in a mystery. Turn to Romans 8:29. This is a verse that people have treated for years and years, and I got a new insight into it, and I want to give you some spiritual definitions of technical terminology. Romans 8:28 to 30. We'll read it and then I'll take it apart for you. Take 29 and 30 apart. He said, all we got to so far was Allah. No, that's it. On the contrary, in our verse. So it says, Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes, not man, but God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him. They won't see it, those who don't, even though he uses more extenuating and extreme measures to gain their trust when all is said and done. So he says, he causes all things to work together for those who love God, those who are called, kletos, subpoenaed, according to his purpose, his good pleasure, good purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he predestinated to conformity to the image of his son. We look just like him. Look like him, act like him, smell like him. So that he would be the first one, first and foremost, among many brethren. Firstborn doesn't give you the right idea. Prototokos means first in order, just like RK, order, rank, and importance. Preeminent, supereminent, exalted in supereminent exaltation, the right hand of God, which is the throne of God and of the Lamb, one throne in heaven. And these whom he predestined, he also called. I'll tell you what kind of call that is. It's not just a normal call. He didn't say, hey, you, come here. And you said, nah, I'm not going to come here. Okay, well, see you later. That's not what I'm talking about. It's a subpoena. Sub, under, poena, penalty, under penalty. You must come, and you will come, because he foreknew you and predestinated you. When he called you, you'll come. Five aorist constitutives, the five-linked golden chain that can't be broken, the finished work of God Almighty, even God the Father. Because you were born again, not by the will of the flesh, not by the will of man, but by the will of God, brought forth in Christ. So, he says, and these whom he predestined, he called, and those he called, he justified. That means he dropped his gavel and declared you eternally righteous, with perfect righteousness, divine righteousness, double or triple righteousness, the righteousness of the Father, Son, and the Spirit. Holy, holy, holy. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. So how many believers do you think there are that know they are foreknown? What's that mean? It's prognosko. Pro means before. Gnosko means known. It means seen and known as one who would believe in Christ for the free and irrevocable gift of eternal salvation before the world began, before anything or anyone existed, with the exception of God, who always existed as three in one. That's prognosko. Those who were foreknown, he predestinated. Predestinated is proorizo. Pro meaning before. Horizo means to set a boundary, to determine beforehand, to set a boundary that cannot be exceeded. God is omniscient. That means omni, all. Science means facts or knowledge. He knows all things. He knows all things simultaneously. You say, this is blowing my mind. Good, it needs to be blown. And never learns anything. God never learns anything, because he's always known everything. Therefore, everyone he knew would believe is assured a destiny in heaven. For that one, his destiny is limited to heaven. That's it. You say, won't we live on the earth, the new heavens and new earth? Of course. But still called heaven, the New Jerusalem's capital city. So those who were predestinated, he also called, kletos. This is an official call, a warrant or subpoena, sub meaning under, poena, that's where we get the word subpoena, means penalty, should one not appear. It marks the time in the plan of God where an individual is called by name or scheduled to appear, at which time they do in every case. It is at this time that one comes to faith in Christ. Not a process, an event. Next it says, those who are called, he justified. That means declared righteous by grace when they merely believed in the person of Christ, ere before they even really knew him. That's how gracious it is. Before they ever knew him. And that can never be rescinded. And then those he justified, he also glorified. Glorified means they're given a deathless, sinless, ever-enduring human body like the one Jesus modeled on earth for 40 days following upon his resurrection. 17 post-resurrection appearances. 40 days after his resurrection, before he ascended. This is what I call the five-link golden chain that cannot be broken, wherein these five aorist constitutive verbs, all enacted by God, guarantee for each one, not one of these, who were foreknown, will be missing at glorification. Not one. As sure as God cannot lie, change, or change his mind, as sure as Christ is God and the one and only Savior of mankind, as sure as he paid for every sin of every person born alive in human history on the cross, with the exception of lifelong rejection of Jesus as God and Savior. So, he says, on the contrary, back to our passage. Ready? Did you get all those terms? All those technical terms? Spiritual technical terminology? So that you know what they mean? You know what justified means? Declared righteous. You know what glorified means? Given a deathless body. You know what called means? It means under subpoena to appear. Predestinated means that there's no other destiny for you except heaven, once you believed in Christ. And foreknowledge, which means he saw you through the corridors of time, down through the corridors of time as he looks ahead, as he dwells in eternity, which encompasses time, and he saw your decision to believe in Christ and then made sure that it happened. Isn't he gracious? So you say, well, what about the others? Here's what I say. Believe in Christ, and then it's true of you too. Right? You couldn't do it otherwise, but it's true of you too. Believe in Christ, and it's true of you too. Yes, it is. So, he says in our passage, 1 Corinthians 2:27, it says, we speak, which is laleo. We speak. This is our mission. We speak. You say, boy, you speak a lot, don't you? Yeah, I speak a lot. That's my job. I'm tongue, teeth, lips, and gums in the body of Christ. And your ears, arms, legs, feet, etc., whatever your portion is, melee, body parts of his. So we speak. This is my mission. This is our mission. This is our passion, to speak about Christ. To proclaim God's mystery, namely Christ. He says, we speak, then he says, God's wisdom. Who's God's wisdom? Christ. He says, we speak God's wisdom in mysterion, in a mystery. This is called the wisdom of God in a mystery. Then he says, that which was kept secret. It was apto crypto, was kept secret. Why? In order that men might not abuse or obscure it until the time was right for it to be revealed, and in order that Satan might not distort it, attack it, or counterfeit it, its many features, in order that it would stand alone, a beacon of glorious truth or reality, in order that Satan might think he could defeat Jesus at the cross, who ended up crushing his head. See, that's why it was kept secret, so that he wouldn't know, and he didn't know, in order that Satan might think he could prevail against the church, which will only add martyrion, which is a witness or testimony, to the mousterion, the mystery, damning testimony against Lucifer, adding charges to his pending sentence, and also condemning all who thought he was the wise one rather than God. So he says, that which was kept secret, which the God predestined, pro orizo, there's our word pro orizo again, determined in advance, the boundaries are set, the borders drawn, and your destiny safe, sure, secure. Nothing can intervene. No one can interfere. All things will proceed as planned. This occurred not in time, but in eternity, before time, a sovereign decision bearing his seal. And as you know, the seal of a human king cannot be broken in Esther 8:8. How much more the seal of God, the Holy Spirit that seals each one into the day of redemption in Ephesians 4:30. What about the rest? To them I say, become one of us. For if and when you believe in Christ, you will prove that you too were foreknown from all eternity, having been determined in advance that you would end up in heaven. And now, having answered the subpoena to believe in Christ as God and Savior, you are presently and permanently declared righteous. And when you die, or if you're among the living when Christ comes to get us, you will be likewise glorified for all eternity. That's how you get in. And you say, well, who are they? We don't know. 2 Timothy 2:19, the Lord knows those who are his. Romans 8:29, for those he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom he predestined, he called. Those he called, he justified. Those he justified, he glorified. So he says here, predestined before the ages. Before the ages means before time was being marked and earth ages recorded. No one knows but God, and no one else will until we get there and learn all about such things, which will be marvelous beyond measure. Are you looking forward to learning for all eternity? I am, because I'm not doing so well here learning. I know nothing as I ought to know it. And I have short circuits all over the place. God's faithful. In eternity, that will not exist. So, I don't know about you, but I can't wait. By the way, the earth is very old, dating to a time before the Ice Age in Genesis 1-2, existing long before the creation and habitation of man. You say, well, I don't believe it. I believe in the young earth. Good for you. In Job 38:1, the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now gird up your loins like a man, and I will ask you, and you instruct me, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who set its measurements, since you know, or who stretched the line on it, measured it, engineered it, so that it worked perfectly with precision? On what were its bases sunk? What keeps it in the air? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars, for man's creation, those are angels, sang together, and all the sons of God, another echelon of angels, shouted for joy at the unveiling of the earth? It was created pristine and ready to be inhabited by man. That's what Isaiah tells us under inspiration in 45:18. For thus says the Lord who created the heavens. He is the God who formed the earth and made it. He established it and did not create it a waste place, but formed it to be inhabited. In case you wondered, there it is. That's Isaiah 45:18. 45:18 of Isaiah. And Job 38:1-4. But before the creation of man, Lucifer sinned and was exiled to earth. In Isaiah 14:12, how you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn, you've been cut down to the earth. See? And due to his sinister activity, the planet was frozen and fractured in Genesis 1:2, which literally and correctly translated says the earth became formless and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. Tohu wabohu, the removal of heat and light from the earth, which pushed the surface of the earth as it expanded by 1/11th due to the water content in the earth in through its atmosphere 100 miles and froze solid and was fractured. Mountains risen and deep valleys and caverns in the earth formed. Therefore, the earth would require, after the judgment of the original earth, restoration, which occurred much later in 6 literal days, with one more to rest and enjoy it, Genesis 2 and 3. Read all about it. See, here's the best-kept secret of Christianity. The Bible. And if you read it, you might learn something. The best-kept secret. It's in the Word. I hate to tell you, it's hidden in plain sight. Oh, there's Bibles all over. Oh, you got a Bible on your lap. But now you need to read it. It will enrich your life in every possible way. It'll be health and healing to your body and bones. More so than anything else people come up with. So, here is a mystery for the ages. The destiny of the church. Where he says next, unto our glory. Unto our glory. This poses an important question, which is, what is glory? Glory is the excellency of God, all of his characteristics, his divine nature, that is, that shines forth from him through creation, through many other ways, through the creation of man, through the creation of the universe, through the word of God, through the person, especially through the person of Christ, who is the glory of God. Glory belongs only to God and can only be bestowed by him. It's true that certain things in creation have glory, but in every case, it is more reflective than it is intrinsic. It means it doesn't come from that item or from material things, but is a reflection of the Creator. It is, in fact, a mark of God's incomparable power, wisdom, and beauty, never more evident than in the image and likeness of God, which is placed in man, and of course in Jesus Christ first and foremost. Man was created to reflect the glory of God, which was marred by the fall when man insisted upon independence rather than dependence upon the Creator and partnership with him, when he turned down God as his partner, his Savior, Jesus Christ. As he moved farther and farther away, the image and likeness likewise became more and more obscured, and coming under direct attack an evil influence from the devil, man in his fallen and protracted state became more like Satan than Christ. Except for these mortal bodies that we've been given, which Satan longs to have for his own wicked pleasure. He doesn't have a body. He wants one. So jealous, man. The God-man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, it was the plan of God from the beginning to exalt man once again, but at the same time to hide him in plain sight from the powerful and invisible enemy forces that would seek to destroy each and every one of us. Therefore, in Christ, we are hidden, protected, safe, and eternally secure, foreknown, predestinated, called, justified, and glorified already. The only thing that can still be affected is the degree of glory that each will have. And that comes by the missing chapter, the five-link golden chain, which is sanctification. But it affects, what can be affected is the degree of glory. All will be glorious, but some will be more glorious than others. You know that, right? 1 Corinthians 15, 40 and following. Star differs from star in glory. There's one kind of glory here, one kind of glory there. This is God's wisdom in a mystery, that we are predestinated unto glory. That is, to share in the glory of Christ. And another important thing to know, it will involve a few bumps and bruises, a little appointed suffering, and a lot of believing on the way there. Philippians 1:29, for you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer. Oh, I hate that word. For his sake. Experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. Paul's in jail for life. And you've been given a life sentence of trusting God for the ups and downs, the bumps and bruises that are inevitable, that are appointed. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we're children of God. Thank God for that. And if children, heirs. Also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. We'll all be glorified, but some more glorious than others. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. That's what it says in the New American Standard, revealed to us. To us, in the accusative, pointing to each one of us as the object of grace and glory, is eis hamos, which means into and or unto us. Therefore, the glory is revealed to us here, which is important, and will be revealed in us there. To us here and in us there. And until then, it's hidden inside of us, where Christ dwells, and we are hidden from the devil with Christ in God, in whom we are fully protected in Colossians 3:3, hidden with Christ in God, 1 John 5:18, the wicked one touches us not. He can't find you. Wherein, as John tells us, it has not yet appeared what we shall be. Good thing. In the meantime, he, Christ, is the hope of glory, the continuous expectation and anticipation of our glorification in Colossians 1:27. So how do we affect our future glory? That's a question, a good one. Is it, by doing more good things or great things for God, which, by the way, is not even possible, not possible. Is it by praying more, even praying without ceasing? No, that would wear thin too quickly and end up a futile exercise because you wouldn't do it. You'd stop at some point. How about devoting yourself to spiritual conditioning along with peak physical conditioning? How about eating right, regular exercise, and getting proper rest? All important things, practical things that we should do. But none of these will work, though there is a solution, a regimen, a prescription that will yield the favorable result. Indeed, there's eating, there's exercise, and rest that's involved, sitting to dine with Christ every morning. I hope you all found that. That's another secret, hidden in plain view. Sitting down with Christ, to dine with Christ, morning by morning, at a table set for two. Eating the manna, and moving ever closer day by day to the promised land, where your great inheritance awaits you. Then it is time to stretch and exercise unto godliness. Exercise yourself unto godliness, 1 Timothy 4:7, to get the old blood flowing and the heart beating, building strength and living unto God, walking with Jesus all day long, up and down hills, exercising faith, hope, and love in the details of life. That's exercising oneself unto godliness. Working out that salvation of ours in Philippians 2:12. Did you work out today? Working out that salvation even now, right here, here and now. Learning how to let God will and work in you and through you for his good pleasure, which is the glory of Christ. Philippians 2:12, Philippians 2:13, Philippians 2:10 through 11. Then it is resting in faith, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all who know the secret, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord Jesus, are being transfigured, changed from the inside out into the same image, his image, from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord in us brings that glory to bear. Seeing him, coming to know him, as he is now raised, ascended, and seated, a vision of the glorious Christ seated upon his glorious throne. Without a vision, the people perish in Proverbs 29:18. And John sees him in Revelation 4:1, a throne, a glorious throne, he is sitting upon it like a sardius stone. In the glorious New Jerusalem, looking forward to your appointed time to sit with him there as an overcomer in the age of Laodicea, Revelation 3:21. The good pleasure of God is the glory of Christ. By these, and without anything else, we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to whom belongs all the glory forever and ever in 2 Peter 3:18, and always with him the church, which is his glorious body. This, my friends, my dear friends, whom I love deeply, is a summary of the mystery hidden in God for ages and generations past, hidden from men and angels, but now revealed to us as hope or anticipation of our certain glorification, maximum incentive to press on, to take hold of the fullness which is being extended and offered to one and all. And by the indwelling Christ, having the full power to obtain it, since it's by grace, pure grace. The mystery is Christ, his true identity, and supereminent exaltation. Colossians 2:2 and 4:3. The mystery that is Christ. The mystery which is Christ. The mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory, in Colossians 1:27. The mystery is Christ corporate, the church, which is Christ's body, in Ephesians 1:23. That is, its origin, its identity, its purpose, and its destiny. All of this is wisdom in a mystery that every pastor, listen to this carefully, is committed to teach. And every believer is committed to learn and live by. In 1 Corinthians 4:1, let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. When I stand at the Bema, I want to hear the Lord say, well done, with respect to having taught the mystery, having majored on the mystery, even mastering the mystery, having expounded the mystery until everyone here knows it, and most of you own it. I want all of you to own it. If you have it, you'll be kept from all harm, from any and all alarm, from deep wounds that come from humans and demons, from any and all distortion, distraction, and deception, from ignorance, insolence, and arrogance. Your heart will be filled with wonder, gratitude, and love. You will find that you only desire to know Christ. You no longer want to debate doctrine or denounce detractors, those who are in error, or those who are less interested than you are. No more competition, no more comparisons, or interpersonal conflict. Only humble submission to the Lord Jesus and the Word of God, the wisdom of God in a mystery. Only unity, harmony, and edification in and among the body of believers. Empathy, identification, camaraderie, compatibility, and rapport. That is, rallying around the person of Jesus Christ. We have it here in our little church, but need even more, because you can't have too much. So don't do anymore. Just be yourself in Christ, sold out, holding nothing back. Be a mystery and a miracle. A mystery, an enigma to the world, as one led and borne along by the Spirit, as Jesus Christ told Nicodemus in John 3:8, such are those who are born of the Spirit. A miracle man or woman with so many wondrous happenings in your life, and as happy as you can be, though not as happy as you will be, for that which is coming, that which you are waiting in hope to see, which will thrill your glorified humanity above and beyond anything that this earth, any experience that you could have on earth. 1 Corinthians 2:6. Yet, we do not speak wisdom among those who... We do speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom not of this age, nor of the government officials of this age, who are passing away. 1 Corinthians 2:7. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. It's a wonderful word the word of the mystery, the teaching of the mystery of Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God in a mystery. Thank you, Father. May it become more and more prevalent and perspicuous in our minds, and we see it more clearly than ever before. It's a spiritual message that takes the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit to fully instill it and install it in us. And so we trust you for it as we move on in another increment to understanding Christ, the mystery man in the church, which is his body. So, Father, we thank you for these things. If I could have my ushers, please, Father, bless the offering in Jesus' holy and precious name. Use it for your purpose in proclaiming the word of God, disseminating the word of God to many people. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
If we could all stand.